Lord, though sometimes we encounter in our lives people that stand with arms folded, not welcoming embrace. But God, even in our worst moments, in our moments of fear, our moments of sin, our moments of guilt, our moments of doubt, our moments of disillusionment, our moments of hopelessness, you are there with arms open wide. God, thank you that you are that kind of God who loves us and embraces us. And God, your call is, don't run to the things of the world. Run to me. Run to me. And there we find the riches of your love. And there we find hope. And there we find peace. And there we find joy. And there we find purpose. God, forgive us for running to other things to fill our soul when all we should do is to run to you. For you alone satisfy and complete us. Lord, we come to this last word. It's hard to believe. Lord, we have been in this journey for almost 2 years. Lord, in this experience, the last 6 or 7 weeks. And here we are with the last word. And the most, perhaps, most important word. The word of why Petal First Baptist is here. And it is the word go. God, I pray that you would make our seats so uncomfortable this morning that we cannot help but answer the call to go. Because the need is so great. The vast number of those who yet to know Christ as Savior and Lord screams and cries out to us, just even right here in our own community. Thousands upon thousands of people who do not know you and have no hope this morning. They wake up on a Sunday and it's like any other day of the week. They don't have the hope to run to Jesus this morning. So God, may we feel the call, that we feel compelled and burdened, and we have a call that's placed on our lives to go and share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. Speak to us now, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team, praise band, so very much for leading us passionately. I love when I hear you sing. I hate on Sundays when you don't have a voice because you can't really sing. And that stinks because I like to sing really loud. That's why I sit on the second row so only poor David and Gwen Ann have to hear me sing really loud. Not much that I do softly, my wife would probably say, but I do like to sing loudly. I'm so glad you're here this morning. This is such a significant moment in the life of our church family. I'm not sure I really thought about it until today that we've worked our way all the way around the circle. Next Sunday morning, we're going to wrap all this up, and not to put it on a shelf and forget about it, but in fact, we're going to wrap it up so we can begin to do it. We'll begin perhaps the hardest part, and that is begin to implement what we've talked about. And that really begins with you today and the next Sunday, where you begin to sign up and begin to embrace these things that have been put before you. Some of the teams you'll see around the tables this morning are teams that are brand new. There'll be nobody behind them because they've yet to be staffed. They've yet to be assembled of people to be there. They've yet to have leaders who say, God, I feel your call to help. For example, we'd love to have a team that would help us think through our message series and give us input and feedback and evaluation, help us think through ways we can creatively make the stage appealing to what we're talking about in that particular message series to help bring it to life. We'd love to have a team like that. There are other teams that have been created, a prayer team and other teams in our go areas and in our grow and committing areas. There are new teams that we'd love to see begin to flourish, things that are very, very necessary for us to fulfill the vision that God is calling Petal First Baptist to. And it is a mission of one key word. Anybody tell me what that one key word is? If we had to narrow it down to one word, what is the one word? Transformation. Thank you. Who said that? Is that Barbara Lofton? It sounded like Barbara Lofton said that. Barbara, you're on the vision team. You can't say that word. You already know that word. I put it up in a big banner so you could see it. Look over here to the left over here. You see it to my left, to your right? The word transform. We put that word there. It was a series we did last fall, but it's in particular so you wouldn't forget it. And we're going to also add these banners, this vision statement, these words, these key symbols we have. They'll be around the building to remind you because here's what we want you to know and understand. We're not going to just preach all this and then say, well, that was really awesome. We're going to begin to do it. It begins with this morning of our word go. But the key is transformation. We'll remind you one more time, what is our desire? What is our vision? We desire to be radically transformed. We desire to be radically transformed by God into a people that he can use to transform others. That is our vision. We want to be so transformed by the power of the gospel. For example, this morning, that God convicts us so deeply and so powerfully that we can't help but go. And we don't have to hear it preached very much. God's Spirit speaks to us and we're listening. And we say, God, I have to go. I want to go to Toledo. I want to go to Shekinah Glory. I want to be a part of some pedal ministries. I want to do some backyard Bible clubs and pedal this year. I want to go on the bus with the Center of Children and Families if I can do that during the week and go read to some kids and establish some relationships. So when we go there this summer, we'll have some relationships already built. And we can make connections with people. Folks, as I get more connected, and some of you are in the primary school and other schools, and you see and you know and you understand the great need that is in our city, in our community. And the more I'm there, and I'm there a lot during the week, some weeks depending, but they're doing the backpacks, I'm getting to know some of these kids and their families and their stories. And folks, it is heartbreaking. And we, church, we cannot, listen to me carefully, we cannot stand by and sit in this beautiful building and do nothing. We cannot do it. We must not do it. I will not do it. I will not do it. And I will do my best to lead. And I guess if I look around me, nobody's behind me. I guess I'll go on by myself. But I know some of you are with me, and I rejoice in that. This little girl I met this week, one who we gave tennis shoes this week. This little girl has come to school 5 days in a row with the same uniform on. 5 days in a row. 5 days. Most of you in this room have 5 and 10 pairs of pants and shirts and uniforms. She has one. That just can't be. Now, I know people make decisions and choices, and I understand that, and we want to try to address those too. But our children need to know that there is hope. There is hope in Jesus. There is hope in adults who will love them and care for them and share with them the truth of the gospel. And I know you want to do that. Transformed. Let's talk about a people that were transformed. The disciples, those who were gathered in the upper room, had heard Jesus' call in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. If you take your Bibles, would you turn there? While you're turning there in Acts chapter 1, beginning March the 8th on 2 Sundays, we're going to begin to launch the series of the book of Acts. We'll put it on pause button because in March and April, we'll have a new series, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. And then we'll pick it back up in May, and through the rest of 2015, we'll work our way through the book of Acts and probably on into 2016 as we work our way verse by verse through seeing what the church was about and what that means for us and how that dovetails into our vision 2020. But I want to jump back to Acts chapter 1 and be reminded of what the call was, beginning in verse number 1. Would you mind, if you don't mind, standing once again and reading in honor of God's word this morning? Remember, Luke wrote this. Luke wrote the book of Luke, obviously. This is now book 2, if you will, the continuation of Luke. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, and after he had by his Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth, the remotest part of the earth. And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on. And the cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, 2 men in white clothing stood beside them, 2 angels. And they said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the sky? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. God, speak to us now, I pray, powerfully, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Would you be seated and take your outline out there? We want to fly through this morning and get you so we can have time at the end of our service for you can take time to walk around the tables this morning. Our vision, there it was. We said, let's jump ahead if we can. This morning, we're going to talk about this one statement, the word go. We've talked about connecting, growing, committing, and going. We're going to connect ourselves and others to Christ and the church. We're going to call each one of us to grow in a deepening relationship with Christ. We want to call you to connect deeply, to grow deeper, to commit sacrificially, commit your time and your resources to serve Christ and others, which is what you're going to do today. And lastly, we're called to go and share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. When we say everyone, just in case you don't know, that means everyone. That's pretty difficult, isn't it? Everyone means everybody. There is no exclusion. There is no color. There is no race. There is no socioeconomic status that matters. We are called to share the love of Christ with everyone. And we're called to do it everywhere. I had a guy years ago in a church I served years and years, and we'll just say years and years ago, so you don't know which church it is. They ever listen, they'll think I'm talking about him. But I had a guy come to me and say to me, "Preacher," he said, "I got a problem with you." I said, "Well, stand in line. That's nothing new. Go ahead." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "You're telling me that we're going to take a trip and spend all this money and go over there to the different country and share Christ with those people. That's what we got missionaries for. We don't need to be doing all this. We got too much to do here. We don't need to be going over there." Now, I wish I'd maybe been more spiritual in that moment. I don't know how spiritual I was because I wasn't feeling very spiritual in that moment. I said, "You know, you're right. We have a lot to do here. And we do have missionaries, and we're blessed." And at that time, we were over 5,000 missionaries. We're now down to 4,500 missionaries. And if the funding does not continue to increase, it's going to be even less than that. And I told him, I said, then help me understand this one statement. How in the world can I fulfill the Great Commission sitting my honey and my blessed assurance in this pew? How can I fulfill the Great Commission? Yes, I have a part. I have a part, and I may not ever go, but I'm going to help others go, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to help and encourage and be a part of sending others to go if I don't go myself. And by the way, this wouldn't surprise you. This person wasn't doing any missions anywhere. I just said, "Well, tell me, who's the last person you shared Christ with?" Ask that in a Baptist church, and it gets real quiet. Real quiet. We know statistically in our own church of what you filled out, of those who filled it out, over 30% said they hadn't shared Christ in the last 6 months. We have a call. We have a call to go right here in our own backyard. We're going to do that this summer. We're going to find all kinds of ways to, listen to me, to go where they are. We have to go. And we're doing that. We're going to the school. Why are we going to the school? We're going because we want to go. We want to be there. We want to open doors of ministry opportunities. Because eventually these families find out that who's sending the backpacks home of food every weekend, and who's investing in buying shoes, and who's investing so their kids can come eat pizza in our fellowship hall and use that for a reward. And who is it that's helping those teachers? Because those teachers are coming to us now by droves every single week. I push that cart and I say, "Hey, I got a kid. Can I add it to the backpack?" And I always say, no, I need to go ask back and ask my church's permission, because I don't ever do that and tell them I'd do something without their permission. I said, "Of course we'll add them. Absolutely." One little girl, her mom won't sign the permission slip back. She comes to school every day. My mom, I don't know why, just can't send a sack to school. And they haven't given us permission to send the backpack home with her. And so I gave the teacher, I said, "Well, look," I said, "there's two ways to skin a cat." I said, "Just let her have a snack at school. She just take that bag. We're going to pack her a separate bag, JR. We're going to pack her a snack bag each week, because she hasn't got to take it on the weekends, so she doesn't need any raviolis to take on the weekends. We're going to give her some snacks she can have 5 days a week. And eventually, we're going to reach some of these families, because we don't know who these families are at this point. We don't know where they are. So we're starting. We're going. We're going to go this summer and go in some backyards. We're going to go with our... And partner with the Pedal Children's Task Force and partner with the Center for Children and Families and find ways we can be connected on a deep, intimate level. Now remember, in order for us to have this, we have to have a DNA shift, the call to go and multiply rapidly. Now this is significant. Let me hang here for just one moment. Then we'll dive into the word share. We want to multiply, watch this word, rapidly. Now, some would say, "Well, now, preacher, we've multiplied rapidly." Would you agree with that statement? God has blessed us. We have multiplied rapidly. I won't use a rabbit illustration. My wife fussed at me about that last time, so I won't use that again. But we've multiplied rapidly. God has added. It's incredible. I'm talking to Chris and to Denise about the number of kids that are going to camp this summer. 2 years ago, we took 8 kids to summer camp. 8 kids. We took 25 or 30. Well, that was the year we took 50 or 60. I don't know. It was a big year. I can't remember, Charlie. They all run together. But 5 years ago, we had 8 or 10 or 15 students. And now here we are. We're going to take almost 100 children and students to camp this summer. That's a wonderful thing. God's multiplying us. But here's the thing. And some will stop and say, well, haven't we multiplied enough? And sometimes, honestly, my answer is, yeah. Because I ain't got to know the first 200, much less the last 200 very well. And so, yeah, I would say, let's slow down a little bit. But you know what I also realized? That's not our call. Our call is to go and share. And if God multiplies us rapidly, then so be it. And if he multiplies us too rapidly, we'll have to add another service. We'll have to plant a church. We'll do something. But we got to multiply rapidly. We want to multiply our life groups. We want to multiply our church planting efforts. We want to multiply rapidly. Why? Because here's the deal. We are losing the battle quickly in our culture. Do you see it? It's everywhere. It's all the time. We read it every single day we open the newspaper or hear somebody speak in politics, and we think to ourselves, what in the world is happening? Let me tell you what's happening. We are hurtling toward the end times. Jesus is going to return. You're saying, he's coming tomorrow? I don't know. He might. There's a part of us inside of us that says, Lord, would you just come on? I'm just tired of this world. And there's a part of me that says that, but then I walk through the hallways of that school and I think of these families and I think of the lost people in Indonesia and I think about those in Toledo, Ohio, the 800,000 plus who are lost and are going to hell, folks. I think about those in this community. I think about those in Mississippi. We're talking billions of people who've yet to hear, have yet to respond to the gospel. So we can't afford to do addition in the church any longer. We must multiply. And how does that happen? It's when you and I decide and embrace that I will be a part of the multiplication process. I will leave it up to somebody else. I will embrace and understand that it is my call. It is my responsibility. It is my pleasure. It is my privilege to share the gospel. And it's not somebody else's job. It's mine. We want you to know and believe and embrace and understand that the call to go and multiply is for you and for me. How do we do that? It's that process, that transformational journey, right? We've been talking about that for a while. Just look at it just quickly, and then I'll jump. The connect, grow, commit, go. The last stage. Maybe for a lot of us, maybe we've already done the first three. The last one, though, that's a little bit more frightening. A lot of us have jumped up. We've got more people going on missions than we have probably in the history of our church. We got 2 trips going to Haiti, 2 to 3 going to Indonesia, hopefully 3 going to Indonesia. A 4th one to Haiti. There's another trip to somebody that the Rainies are going on. There's another spot there too if you wanted to go. So there's 4 opportunities for you to go to Haiti, 3 to go to Indonesia. North American missions, we're open to do 2 trips if we need to. We're going to Shekinah Glory multiple times this year and then in our own backyard. There's no way you can walk out these doors and say, I just don't know how I can make a difference. If you say that, you are dead. Okay? You're not breathing. Or your ears are plugged or clogged. One or the other. Are you with me? I thought about this morning. I was stuffing the ministry insert we did for you, and I'm like, good night. This bulletin is like, it weighs like 2 pounds. And in previous times where people complain, and Chris says, Matt, all this stuff in there, good night. Can we not have so much junk in the bulletin? And here's what I would say to that, and I don't disagree because a lot to read. But you know what my heart said this morning? I thought about that. I thought, you know what? Thank God we're doing something. We got something to put in the bulletin. We're not just doing nothing. And we want to put as many resources into your hands and try to equip you and encourage you and motivate you and challenge you to go. Don't just come and sit, but come and sit and receive the word of God. And then we go and we become the church. We drive out these doors. Other churches have them. We need to have them too, just remind us. We need to have a sign out there that's at the exits, the 2 exits out there. And it says out there, now we're going to be the church. We have gathered as the church, but now we are scattering to be the church, to go. Why don't we share more often? Why don't we go more often? We have a lot of excuses. We make them. I do, and so do you. I don't have time. I don't know how to. I don't really see the need to. People don't want to hear. True, sometimes. I haven't been a Christian long enough. I don't know any lost people. I'm afraid. I don't want to. People don't care. People won't respond. There's this myth that we think that people are not interested in spiritual issues. We think, well, they don't really care. But folks, survey after survey tells us, even one that was just a couple years ago, in a Gallup survey, they discovered that 65 million Americans have no church home. It's higher than that now, but that was what it was a few years back. 34 million of that 65 million, 34 million said they would attend if somebody would just invite them. Does that shock you? 34 million people just waiting for somebody to pick up the phone, to send a text message, to send a Facebook message, to look at them face to face and say, would you just come with me to church? I'll take you to lunch. Would you just come with me? An invitation. We must make a decision in our lives to put aside the excuses and do what we're called to do, and that is to share. This acronym, the word share, go share with everyone, everywhere, the love of Christ. Here it is, the word share. Here's an acronym. Number one, the word S says this. We're called to share with others. Invite them to come. Many of you do this already, and I want to encourage you to keep it up. Don't stop it. Because I'm going to tell you how most people have gotten to our church, the vast majority. Now, a lot of them have come by. They moved into town, and they've seen the sign, or they've looked it up on the internet, seen our website, and things like that. And so that's great, and we have all those resources. But we know, statistically speaking, the vast majority of you that have come that were not here 3 years ago, do you know how you got here? How many of you got here? Let me just illustrate the point, all right? How many of you got here because the preacher came and visited you at your house and encouraged you to join? Anybody in the room over the last 3 years, raise your hand. Look around. I want you to look. This is important. Man, we got a sorry preacher. What in the world is he doing? You know what? That's the happiest moment of my life right there. Now I could ask this question, and I won't do it because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I would ask it. How many of you came because somebody invited you to come? Right? Look around the room. Do you get it? It's an invitation. It's not about who's standing in this place right here. It's about you. It's about you inviting. It's about you encouraging. It's about you investing in people's lives. That's what makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. And there's some of you sitting in this building that you didn't know Christ, Savior and Lord, 3 years ago. And God's grace, bless God, you're here today because somebody had the courage to say, would you come to church? Please? That's why we do like a Friends Sunday. We want to give an excuse. My preacher said, if I don't bring anybody, they're going to kick me out of the church. Would you please come with me? You know, I mean, we just want to do fun things like that. So we do two services on Easter Sunday. We want to provide people opportunities to come. We've got to share. Sharing comes a lot of ways. It's an invitation. It's verbal. We also share our lives, though, in other ways, too, right? That's why we do backpacks. That's why we do primary school ministry. It's why we're going to do backyard Bible clubs. It's why we're going to do things like mission trips. Why? Because that is investing in sharing our lives. It's not just our voice, which most of us need to do, but it goes beyond just our voice, doesn't it? Notice the second part, the A. We must have a heart for the lost. And we don't really like this one so much because this is not the, and you don't hear me preaching on TV preaching this, but here's the thing. Are we burdened for the lost? And I have to ask myself the same question because I get so busy and so focused and so lasered in on things I'm doing. We blister through Pedal and Hattiesburg. And we drive places. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you saw somebody and you knew they didn't know the Lord? And your heart broke for them. I mean, that your heart was so burdened you couldn't go to sleep at night. I remember there was a time in high school, and I can honestly say there's not been many times in my adult life that I've felt that way. And I'm ashamed to say that, very ashamed. But I remember a time I was a junior in high school. I was on a winter retreat in junior high school. I can remember like it was yesterday, just like yesterday. And there was a student I've been witnessing to for months, and I'd finally encouraged her to come to this retreat. There's a great speaker, and I've been praying, God, save this girl, and I'll never forget it. I can remember going to bed crying at night, God, please, please help her to hear. And I remember weeping. I remember having to leave a worship service. I was so burdened for her. I wanted to know Christ, and it felt like this would be the last moment. And I prayed, and I fasted, and I prayed into the night. I'll never forget that next day. That was on a Friday and a Saturday afternoon. I watched her in invitation time slip out of her seat. Come find Jesus. I thought I could leap like nine rows at one time. I was so excited. God, We must be burdened, folks. We think burden like, oh, we walk around with rags on our head and we mope around. No, no, no. It's an inner heart thing that we're burdened, that we're bothered by the fact. Here, watch this. We're bothered by the fact we're not bothered. We're bothered by the fact that we're not burdened. We must be burdened, folks. We must ask the Spirit of God to burden our hearts for those who don't know Christ. Thirdly, to be available and aware of the lost people around you. This takes us praying. God, help me today to be aware, to look around, because again, we get laser focused. We get in our jobs, we get in our schools, we get in our routines, our sports, and all those kind of things, and we get laser focused in on our stuff when there are lost people all around us, on the ball field, on our teams, at school, in our activities, in our jobs, in our cubicles, in our driving, in our trips we take. They're everywhere. God, help me to be available when you'd call me, that I would be listening to be aware and available for you to use me. Sometimes God wants to save somebody, but we're not listening. We've got to listen. God, help us to have those ears to listen. The R, ready, ready. Are you ready to ask the Lord to use you and own up to your responsibility? When you found Christ as Savior and Lord, you didn't get to sign a card that says, well, I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm not going to tell anybody else about it. Now, we all would not say, we would never say we did that. We wouldn't believe that. But the truth is, we would see it statistically speaking, that is just the truth. Right? It is, isn't it? We don't like it, and it's a very unpleasant thing to hear, but it is just the truth. Truth is truth, and sometimes it hurts. But we need to hear the truth. Be ready. And lastly, are we excited about others coming to know Christ? This church gets it. Can I encourage you? They come out of that baptistry water. I've been wanting that to happen forever. I've been part of churches and they baptize and they're just quiet as a church mouse. Good night. What are we, brain dead? I mean, come on. Somebody just got baptized and this church erupts and I love it. Somebody comes down front and finds Christ and we welcome them and we clap. We clap for every other cotton picking thing. Why would we clap for the greatest thing, right? We need to be excited when people come to know Christ. And on the vice versa, when we don't see people come to know Christ, we ought to be burdened. We've been blessed. God's blessed us with over 30 baptisms in the last 2 years. We're at about 6 or 7 right now. We ought to be burdened by that, folks. That'll bother us. This bothers this preacher. It bothers our vision team. Excited, eager, enthusiastic about sharing the greatest news of all time. You say, well, what can I do, preacher? Well, here's what you can do. Number one, you can pray. Begin to pray. God, give me a burden for the lost. God, I pray for our church. We'd have a burden for the lost. You can sign up to pray for an hour, for our 24-hour day of prayer. You can sign up to be a part of our prayer ministry. We don't have one yet, but I would love for us to have one. Love for us to have a prayer room that's open during the week for people to come and pray. I'd love to see people praying during our worship services for God to move. I'd love to see us praying before worship services for God to move. I'd love to see people that would call or email, and we could send those out, and people would pray. We got to pray. We got to pray for lost people that they would hear and understand. We got to pray that God would bless our sign, they would see it and come. We got to pray that we'll feel compelled to go. We got to pray that people feel burdened for the lost. Secondly, we can give. We can give. People go, uh-oh, here we go again, giving. Well, remember, it's not the what, it's the why. Why are we doing it? The giving's just simply the what. It's the vehicle in order for us to do the what. Vision 2020, to go. I ask you unashamedly, sign this card. I know people sometimes, I ain't signing no card. I ain't committing to nothing. Well, then don't. Praise God. But I'm going to sign one because I'm going to make a commitment not to you. And not just so we can have a real pretty poster next Sunday night to announce all this there, though we want to be able to do that. Excuse me. I'm committing to the Lord. Lord, this is my next step up. I'm identifying for me, by the way, what my next steps up are in connecting, growing, committing, and going. I'm going to write down these things. I'm asking you to do the same thing. What's your next step up? For some of us, the next step up is a generosity ladder, just to take the next step up in your giving. First-time givers to occasional givers, from an occasional giver to an intentional giver, from an intentional giver to a tithing giver, from a tithing giver to an extravagant giver. We got to give. We're going to go, folks. Sharing the gospel is expensive. It's not just about turning on the lights and paying the salaries. It goes far beyond that. But it goes in an instant. So last weekend, we were able to host 300 teenagers Friday and Saturday in this building. We're going to host our primary school here a couple times during the year. Other events we host here. How, why? Because we want to know these people to know this church is open for them. It costs money to go on mission trips. It costs money to buy resources that we need in order to do what we got to do. I can give. Notice the third thing. I can go. 3 years ago, if we'd say to you, you got to go, we'd just say, well, just go. And people would say, well, go where? Well, just go. Well, who do I go with? Well, just go. Now we can say, we can go to Pedal in multiple ways, in ways that are yet to be discovered. You can go in Mississippi to Shekinah Glory, the first part of our partnership with Shekinah Glory. You can go to North America. You can go to Toledo, Ohio. You can go to the ends of the earth, to Haiti and Indonesia. You can go. Well, I can't afford to go, or I don't know why I don't get off time for work, and I got vacation, all this kind of stuff. Let me encourage you. One of the greatest investments you can ever make in the lives of your children. Our goal is, we won't probably be able to do it this summer. We won't be able to do it this summer. But next summer, our goal is to be able to offer at least once a year a family mission experience where you can take your children and experience missions together. We're going to challenge our folks. And folks, I just want you to know how serious I am about this kind of stuff. This is so cool. We're going to ask some families next year to say, you know what, we're going to punt. This is going to be radical. We're going to punt the beach next summer. And instead of doing the beach and spending that money there, that ain't cheap, we all know, I'm going to take that money and I'm going to take my family and we're going to go on a mission trip. Hello. Does anybody get excited about that? I get so excited about that thought. Now I want you to know I love the beach. I feel God at the beach. I do. I love the waves and the sand and all that. I love sitting on the balcony just listening, being still and quiet. I love it. I love the mountains. I love God there too. But I want my children to know and understand that they have a call to go. And I don't teach them when they're 19 and 25. They need to know now. So it's a part of who they are. It's part of their DNA. And it's not that, well, we got to go on a trip. Good night. It's we get to go. I can share the good news. My testimony, a track, the ABCs, the Roman road. I can learn to share my faith. On March the 22nd, we're going to do a series. It's really good. I'm excited about it. We're doing our life groups and in our worship starting March the 22nd. So 5 Sundays. We'll take off the Sunday for Easter Sunday, but the 5 Sundays before and after Easter. It's a cool thing. It's called the Three Circles. It's an app. You ready for this? This is how technologically, forget the track. Those are going to be long gone, I guess, at someday. You got an app on your phone or your iPad that you can use to share the gospel. People often say, well, I can't remember it. It's right on the app. We're going to demonstrate it to you. We're going to show you how it works. We've got tracks that go along with it. We're going to help you download the app. We're going to help you be able to feel like I can share my faith with anybody, anywhere. So that nobody at this Pedal First Baptist says, I just don't know how to do that. And we'll provide you other ways you can know. If that doesn't work for you, I'll provide you 5 or 6 other ways you can share your faith. You can share your testimony. We want to share our faith. So what do we need to be doing? We need to be praying. We need to be learning. Being a witness. Rick Warren said this statement. The eternal salvation of a single soul is more important than anything else you or I will ever achieve in our lives. Why? Because it will last for eternity. Here's the thing. In our community, if we can't see them, we won't love them. And if we can't love them, we won't pray for them. And if we won't pray for them, we won't win them. And if we can't win them, then we won't send them. Our ministries, we've talked about them, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the othermost parts of the earth. We define those 4 areas. Some of the targets we're wanting to see happen. And they're radical and they're out there and they're crazy. We want to see every member in our church going and doing missions once a year. Every single person. So if you're in the room and I hope you squirm and going, oh, I'm glad he's not talking to me. Hey, I am talking to you. Jack, I am talking to you. I'm talking to every person in this room. We do backyard Bible clubs, boys and girls. Listen to me, teenagers. We want you to go. I know you have to go to Infuge, but that one doesn't count. Sorry. I know. Isn't it a bummer? You got to go beyond Mission Fuge. You got to go a step above. We want to take our boys and girls to backyard Bible clubs, right, Dana, right? Dana's helping us do that, and Ashley and some others are helping us been praying about that. We want to take our kids to go with us. We want them to go and look in these communities and begin to pray for their friends that don't know Christ. I get excited about that. We want every member equipped to comfortably share their faith. We want to develop a church planting mindset. We want to see 50% of what comes in this building go out of this building. When they first proposed this, I think Chris Rhodes did it, and I'll talk about him because he's not here today. He's suffering for the Lord on a business trip in Disney World. Bless his heart. Suffering with Mickey. But he said, he proposed this, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm not sure I said it out loud, but I thought to myself, you are nuts. 50%. Do you know what that means, Chris? That's extraordinary, folks. There are not many churches doing that. There are a lot of churches keeping a lot in for themselves, but we don't want to keep it here. We want to get rid of it. We're never going to have some large trust fund that's got hundreds of, I've talked to some preachers around here, they got like these huge investment accounts of $300,000 to $400,000. We don't know what to do with it. I'm like, I can tell you what to do with it. You can pay the debt in our church. We'd be grateful. They just let it sit there in the bank. We ought to have a rainy day fund. Nothing wrong with that. But as long as I'm a pastor, I'm never going to pastor a church that's got $300,000 sitting in the bank when people are dying, going to hell. Are you kidding me? I'd fund 5 or 6 missionaries for a whole year. We want to establish a Go Fund so that those who want to go, that can't afford to go, to help them go. Encourage a lifestyle of missional living. We want to see it happen right before our very eyes. So here's the question as we close this morning. Simply this, here it is, and I've asked it every Sunday, and I ask it to you again. What is your next step? I know sometimes some messages we think to ourselves, well, that one doesn't apply to me, you know? Maybe we're talking about marriage, and so you're a teenager, you're single, that didn't really apply to me. Or maybe we're talking about, I don't know, something else different. You go, that's for somebody else. I don't struggle with that sin, or whatever the case may be. Folks, this message, beyond a shadow of doubt, this series is for every person. Teenager, middle schooler, high schooler, elementary school student, mom and dad, grandparent. It is for every person to ask this question, what is your next step? And I'm praying with all of my heart that you will take this seriously. This is not just some card we came up with because we couldn't think of anything else better to do. We did this intentionally. Now, here's the problem. I realized today that ain't enough room to write my next step. So I'm going to have to either write it somewhere else or attach another card. Maybe we'll put some blank cards out for you to flesh this out. But I want you to write it out. You know why? Because I know if I just have it in my brain up here, it'll go just like my New Year's resolutions went. Remember all those New Year's resolutions you made that you've already stopped? Yeah. We want to write it down. Remind ourselves. We make another copy for yourself. We're going to bring them to the altar next Sunday morning. And I'm praying this altar is going to be full of these cards. Well, I don't really feel like that's for me. This is for every single person to ask the question, God, what is my next step? Where do I need to connect? Where do I need to grow? Where do I need to commit? Where do I need to go? Where? What and how? And what is my next step up on the generosity ladder? Folks, I believe with all my heart that the greatest days of Petal First Baptist are yet to come. These have been some great, wonderful days. I have loved them. I've enjoyed them. But God wants to do even greater things. How? When we all embrace the call to connect and grow and commit and go. And to be a people that God is radically transforming from the inside out into a people that he can use to see other people's lives transformed. That is why we are here. Would you pray with me this morning? God, I thank you for this morning, the opportunity to be together as the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you for these that have listened to a scratchy voice. And Father, I can tell they're listening. And really asking the question, God, what is our next step? What do I need to do, God? I pray every person that's sitting in the sound of my voice this morning would ask this question, God, what do I need to do with what I've heard this morning? And there's a response for every single person this morning. And I pray, God, that we would ask it and we would do it. For some this morning, I pray, Lord, they know they need to come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. They never made that most important decision in their life. And they can come and find Chris or I or somebody in the room and say, I didn't know how to find Jesus. I can tell them now, Lord, it's as easy as admitting to you they're a sinner, to ask you to forgive them of all of their sins, to believe that you are the Son of God, that you can save them and you alone can save them. That they would, Lord, commit, Father, confess you, Lord, as Savior, and commit their life to you as Lord, to follow you for the rest of their days. What a radical decision to make this morning. For others, they've made that decision, boy or girl, mom or dad, they've never made it public. Like one came last week and said, I made a decision to follow Christ a couple years ago, but I never made it public. And that's our call, folks, is to be public, to go. You need people to know who we are in Christ. So some of you need to be bold and come and say, that's my next step. I need to come and join this church. Others, you've been visiting a while and God's been speaking to your heart. You've been hearing these vision messages and you're like, yes, this is where God wants us to be. There's no doubt about it. And you know Christ is Savior and Lord. You're ready to not just come and sit on a pew and take up room, but you want to come and join and walk around this room in a moment and say, I'm going to find a place where I can commit to serve sacrificially. Others, Lord, need to be connected to a life group, or they're not growing in their walk with the Lord, or they're not going, they're not burdened for the lost. God, I pray this altar be full of people this morning that say, Lord God, I've not been burdened for the lost, but I want to be, I need to be. I want to be broken over those who don't know Christ. So broken, God, that you would use me to be the vehicle through whom you can reach them. That I'll be your voice. I'll be your hands and feet. Me, God, not my neighbor, not my friend next to me, not my spouse, but me. Others to come and just pray over this vision 2020. God, I just want these folks to know this is not just some grandiose plan that we came up with for some cool logo. God, this is our heart's desire to position this church family where it can have the maximum impact for the kingdom of God. And may you call us to this compelling vision that you have put before us to pray and to pray and to pray. God, bless us as we respond now, as we worship you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand with me this morning, to worship this morning, to respond this morning in your worship. Chris and I are at the front to receive this. Altar is open, folks. Let's do business with God. Just as I am, God, would you speak right now?
Just as I am.